Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Central College and Humanities Iowa, presenting the new podcast Mid-Americana, Stories from a Changing Midwest. New episodes from Season 1 are available at midamericana.com or wherever podcasts are found.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This half hour, we have the good fortune, are happy to have 3rd District Congresswoman Cindy Axne in our Des Moines studio. Cindy Axne, his district is the 3rd. It includes Des Moines along with the southwest quadrant of the state. She is one of two freshman women from Iowa in the U.S. House. Representative Axne, welcome to our program.
Well, great to be here. Love your work, and I'm thrilled to be on the show.
Well, thank you very much. We want to reach out to our listeners this half hour. As many as possible, we will try to get your questions to Representative Axne, either by phone, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or via email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. We will try to get some other things. I know that with impeachment is dominating discussion and the news these days, Representative Axne, we will try to get some of the other work that you're doing in Congress as well. But I'm sure you understand that a lot of interest in what happened yesterday. A stark partisan divide in the vote yesterday to endorse the impeachment investigation into President Trump. No Republicans supported the measure, and just two of your fellow Democrats broke ranks to oppose it. Republicans have derided your party's push for impeachment as a sham, a disgrace, a charade, a Soviet-style mock trial unfair to the president, and an effort to overturn the 2016 elections and impede the 2020 campaign. Why did you vote yes in the face of that criticism?
Basically to fulfill the desires for the Republican Party and folks who believe that we need a transparent process to really, quite honestly, address the concerns that they have. Exactly those concerns that you just said, which is really why I can't believe we didn't have Republican support for an impeachment inquiry vote that met those concerns that they had regarding transparency. I voted specifically for this because it will establish transparency around the format of the hearings and allow the president and his counsel to be more involved. Truly to answer to those calls of my constituents and folks across this country who would like to see this be a more open and transparent process. So that's why I voted for it. I certainly think it meets that criteria. I've got a list in front of me here that you can't see that kind of compares the impeachment inquiry protections that were for President Nixon, President Clinton, and now President Trump. And certainly what has been put in place gives President Trump even more procedural protection than any other impeachment inquiry in the past.
Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I'm sure you've seen the early polls, Americans sharply divided over this impeachment. Do you see this changing, Representative Axne, as we move into this more public phase?
What I see is an opportunity for every single person across this state and this country to see the information firsthand and to be able to make a decision for themselves. So, yes, I expect that it would change. We are seeing every single week people who are providing information and testimony that are backing up the accusations against the president and what he did to put our country in harm's way. So we are, I think, through this process, seeing more people who are coming to the forefront to protect our country. Certainly, folks like Ambassador Taylor and as well as, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman are explaining to the public exactly what they heard firsthand. And those testimonies are very damning in that they do put our country in national security risk. And so I think that it is important for the American public to be able to hear these things firsthand so that they can make a decision based on the facts that we're able to see in Congress.
Based on what you know now, have you made up your mind that Donald Trump should be impeached?
Listen, we know that the president self-admitted that he pressured the Ukrainian president to get dirt on a political opponent for his personal gain in this next election. That's clearly an abuse of powers. We also know, the facts show, that the president withheld military aid. By the way, that's a that's under congressional authority, so the president should never hold back funding that Congress has approved. We do know that he withheld military aid as a quid pro quo to this investigation into a political opponent, which is a violation of federal law and an abuse of our Constitution. So personally, I think the information that we received from the original information about this interaction with Ukraine is illegal. And certainly that is what is allowing us to originally open up an impeachment inquiry. I think what we will see as things drive forth the facts will either prove or disprove that. And I will wait to see what that information looks like. But where we sit right now, I certainly see a president who violated the law.
Let me go to a couple listener questions, bundling two together that are on the same sub-issue of the impeachment. Marilyn and Mike. Marilyn says, first, she thanks you for your vote yesterday, and would like to ask you if you think any of the crimes brought up in the Mueller report will be in the articles. She says she hopes so. Mike on Facebook, to tandem with that, do you feel that pulling the articles of impeachment related to the Mueller probe will be more of a distraction than help, or should the inquiry be focused solely on the Ukrainian issues?
Yes, I do believe that we will be able to pull more information from the Mueller report as a result of the new impeachment inquiry process that will be undertaken because of the vote yesterday. So I believe that we will see more information come from that. Honestly, though, really the reason that I supported the impeachment inquiry just before the speaker announced it was because the information, the hard facts, the data that we have seen regarding the interaction with the president and the Ukrainian president is hard and fast facts that the president did violate the law. So I think we could have easily gone from the perspective of just using looking at the inquiry from the perspective of that particular interaction with the Ukraine. But certainly, we've got a lot of information from the Mueller report that should be looked at. So this gives us an opportunity to really see to the full depths what we're looking at from a national security perspective for our country, in addition to the Ukraine. Listen, any information that we can find that protects our country, that makes sure that we uphold the law, and that we fix a broken Washington is something that I will be anxious to look at.
Join our conversation with Representative Cindy Axne of Iowa's 3rd District, 1-866-780-9100. For months, Congresswoman Axne, before this Ukraine scandal broke, your Democratic House Speaker had been hesitant to wade into this full-blown impeachment inquiry, fearing it could put moderate Democratic lawmakers, perhaps you put yourself in that category, in danger of the 2020 elections. How much of that fear is still there with you? For this could be a political disaster for the Democrats, could it not?
Well, absolutely. Historically, it's not very beneficial to, from a political perspective, to conduct a presidential impeachment. But you know, really, that has to go by the wayside. It's about what's doing what's right for this country, and I completely understand where the speaker was coming from. And many times she went back to the place where she said this is the American people's choice that will be seen at the voting box. And I know that that's what we're going to see. We're going to see people very much voting on this issue. Could it affect people like me in purple districts? I'm one of the 8 most crucial races in the nation. I think, you know, obviously there will be some impact. But I can tell you that every single day what I'm doing is focusing on the issues that face our district. And on the exact same day that an impeachment inquiry was dropped, I put forth an agriculture bill to help keep African swine fever from hitting the shores of this country. That would be one more thing on top of the trade war and the EPA's issuance of these renewable fuel standard waivers that would really be, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back when it comes to our agriculture here. So I believe that if I continue to work very hard on the issues that our district faces, like addressing the trade issues that we're up against, obviously continuing to work with folks in our flooded district in the Missouri, certainly making sure that we lower the cost of prescription drugs and put more money back in people's pockets, then I'm not going to worry about what this impeachment might do to me. If I do my job, I know Iowans. They always get behind the people that work for them. We've got a lot of folks here that don't vote just because of the letter behind your name, but they want to know that you're working hard for them. And I'm working hard for Iowans, and I hope that those who are more concerned about the impeachment thing put that aside a little bit and say, I'm going to vote for somebody who's doing the job that I need to get done for my family here in Iowa.
Just over 10 minutes left live with Congresswoman Cindy Axne of Iowa's 3rd District. We'll go, if you don't mind, Congresswoman Axne, rapid fire through some callers and input otherwise via email. Let's go to Greg in the 3rd District in Des Moines. Greg, welcome to the program. Please be brief. What is your question for Representative Axne?
Hi. Thanks for your work, first of all. I'm calling from the Beaverdale area of Des Moines. Was calling mostly about campaign finance reform. I think Citizens United has led to a lot of dark money in politics, and that has led to a lot of the corruption that we're seeing. I was wondering if you support a constitutional amendment to overturn that, to overturn Citizens United, and also if you support the House Joint Resolution 2 that's in the House currently. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg in Des Moines.
Greg, thank you. That's a great question. I couldn't agree with you more. Money in politics is what's driving so many bad decisions that are impacting this country. It's why I don't take corporate PAC money, and I'm supported by End Citizens United. I would absolutely overturn Citizens United. We have seen, since that ruling, an increased amount of external spending from entities who are supplied with dark money to push out messages that aren't true against political opponents. We've seen an abuse of the system at levels that we've never seen before. Money is driving policy decisions in Washington. I can tell you that. I can tell you why it's so hard for us to fight back against Big Pharma, because there's too many people who've got money in their pockets from them. Never should we be having dark money and, you know, big corporate money, big organization money be dictating what's right for the people in this country. I'll fight back against it tooth and nail, and I'm going to make sure that we can get more people on board who believe that we need to get dark money out of politics.
Question, email from Mary in Des Moines addressing one of the areas that you have campaigned on, Representative Axne. In this email, Mary writes, please comment on direct caregivers, nurse aides, home health aides, and others. In Iowa and across the country, caregivers are underpaid, she writes, and often undertrained. The result is massive turnover when the need for them is huge. In Iowa, caregivers are the largest paid workforce sector. Why don't you and other Democrats champion them?
That is a great question, and thank you for recognizing that. And as we continue to see an aging population, more baby boomers retiring, and certainly in Iowa, we've got an older population here, we are at a crisis where we don't have enough caregivers within skilled nursing centers, certainly within people's homes. I couldn't agree with you more. We have too many parts of our population, the most vulnerable in our population, whether it's older Americans or children, who are taken care of by people who are paid so low. And we absolutely need to raise the wages, not just for caretakers in this country, but for everybody, but certainly for our caretakers. Never should we be putting our older Americans in harm's way because they don't have appropriate care, or maybe we don't have the best people in place to support them. I know that our caretakers want to do the best that they can and do the job that they fully believe in. And we've got to increase their pay. So I appreciate you bringing that up. We are working on some issues in the House to address that issue. I'm on the healthcare task force, which within the New Dems coalition. We're a very pragmatic, solutions-oriented group. We do understand that this is an issue. I'd like to be able to keep as many of our seniors in their homes as possible if they would like to. And we need to make sure that external caretakers or internal caretakers have the resources that they need to support that population. So thank you.
Let's follow up on your brief comment on trade. Representative Axne, back in September, to remind everyone, U.S., Mexico, Canadian negotiators reached this deal to replace the NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. President Trump described the NAFTA as the worst trade deal ever negotiated. Now he and the leaders of Mexico and Canada have signed this new deal, USMCA, modernizing, revising 25-year-old NAFTA agreement. It must be approved by the legislatures of all three countries. This morning, Senator Grassley said he thinks there's still time to get it passed by both chambers here in the U.S. before the end of the year. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree with him. And as a matter of fact, I think I've been the strongest voice on getting this pushed through the House as anybody could be. I met with the ambassador of Mexico just a couple days ago to make sure that they're moving diligently on addressing the regulatory oversight that we need from a labor perspective. That's the piece that's going to be the toughest to resolve. It's the piece that's been holding this whole thing up. We've been great where it stands from an agriculture and a manufacturing perspective for months, but we had two pieces in there, biologics, pharmaceuticals. So pharmaceuticals made from human genomes, things like diabetes, insulin, very costly medicines that we've got to make sure we're going to be able to negotiate the costs of those medicines. And within this current agreement, that we're not able to do that. So we're getting very close to finalizing that piece, to fixing that issue. And that's coming together really nicely. And we're starting to come a lot closer on that labor regulatory oversight. Certainly, we're seeing movement from Mexico to increase their numbers of full-time equivalents. So essentially, the resources, the people that we need to oversee, ensuring that good labor standards are put in place and followed. We're seeing an increase in the numbers of people that they're putting aside to support the union down there to make sure that they've got appropriate jurisdiction should there be some type of employee dispute. They're putting those people in place, and they're establishing the structures that they need to set up to support good regulatory oversight. I want to make sure that everybody in this country benefits from this plan. Like I said, agriculture, the piece looks really good, manufacturing as well. We also need to make sure that labor benefits, and so that's the piece that we're working out. And we need to make sure that the American consumer benefits, which is why it's so important to iron out this pharmaceuticals piece. We get all these things put in place, I think we will have a really good opportunity here to move this forward. It will be a good trade agreement, and I want to let people know we are not holding anything up in the House. We got the working document in July. We've been actively moving the agenda forward to address this issue and vote on it on the floor so that we can have a good trade agreement that provides economic prosperity for Iowans and ensures that we have fair trade and equal trade with our trading partners of Canada and Mexico.
Quickly, let's go to flood recovery. Of course, the Missouri, which flooded, is the western border of your district, Congresswoman Axne. You met with a family a couple of weeks ago. Our Amy Mayer here at IPR did a story on that. Sort of on behalf of her, let me ask you, more than 7 months after the March flooding from the Missouri River, what are you hearing are the needs of the people in southwest Iowa who are still trying to recover?
Well, we still have a lot of work to do. Here's where we're at. I was able to get $3 billion into the disaster relief bill and worked hard to make that happen, plus almost an additional billion in amendments. And so we've got the money. Part of the problem is, though, there aren't good processes when it comes to disaster recovery in place. So we've got folks who are still waiting for the funding that they need, whether it's the SBA, FEMA, Health and Human Services, Department of Commerce, or USDA. So I sent a letter requesting to them what funding has been provided to Iowans, to all of those different agencies fairly recently, to get a better understanding of, hey, we've got the money there. is it getting out to where we need it to go? I do know that you know, we've done a really good job of making sure that folks have been taken out of harm's way, that we're providing opportunity for them to get back on their feet. SBA has been working hard to make sure that we get loans to our businesses to reopen. And certainly with FEMA, we're trying to make people whole with the funding that they're receiving to either you know, move back into their home or get to a new home. Problem is, none of it's enough. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to put better procedures in place. It's another bill I recently signed on to actually develop a process around disaster recovery, because money's great, that's one thing. But if we're, you know, limited to how we're getting it to people, then that's a problem. So I'm also working to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future. We're going to try and do what we can to get as much of the resources out into the hands of the people as possible. But we certainly have a long way to go when it comes to that. We also have issues to address with the Corps of Engineers. They work under congressional authority on how they can rebuild levees. And right now, some of the levee heights that we're looking at aren't going to protect us in the future. We've got to be able to increase their resources and adjust their authority so that they can address issues of infrastructure as they're related to disaster recovery, and really be more in tune with what's happening from a climate change perspective, which is increasing the severity of our disasters these days. So we're working on all those levels, but suffice it to say, if you're listening to this, we could still use a lot of support from a financial perspective. People are still in need of food, of toiletries, of clothing as they continue to rebuild. This just doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm. A quick correction to what I said. It was Katie Pikus, our IPR reporter, rather than Amy Mayer, when I prefaced that question about the reporting in Western Iowa on the flooding. Quickly, we have less than 2 minutes left. Congresswoman Axne, it was a whistleblower whose complaint launched this impeachment investigation. President Trump and his supporters have repeatedly called for that person's identity to be revealed. A few days ago, you introduced the Whistleblower Programs Improvement Act. Quickly, why is this needed? What does it have to do with what we're facing now in the impeachment process?
Well, this is unrelated to the impeachment process, but it goes back to the whole proposition that we need to have people be able to come to authorities and be protected in this country when they see wrongdoing. So specifically, this Whistleblower Act is for the Commodities Future Trading Commission. We just passed that out of Agriculture Committee the other day to continue to move the CFTC and their oversight forward in the reauthorization language. It included my whistleblower language. And what it does is that in 2018, there was a Supreme Court ruling that held that anti-retaliation protections for SEC whistleblowers only applied to those individuals that reported directly to the SEC and not to those who had reported wrongdoing to their employer. So this gives protection to those who report it to their employer. These types of things, if they're not reported, can result in massive market manipulation. This creates volatility within our economic system. There's large implications with this. So it's really important that we protect people who want to come forth with this information because it's the right thing to do.
Cindy Axne, thank you very much for coming into our studio. Third District Congresswoman Cindy Axne, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a moment, when we return after a short break, how the early snowfall is impacting the harvest season. And I asked the state climatologist what this early cold and snowy weather may mean for our winter. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.